You may have heard the expression, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Today's gospel shows what that looks like. The apostles, those who were sent on mission, have returned to Jesus to report all that they had done and taught. Jesus is surrounded by the crowds, and they had no opportunity even to eat. So Jesus suggests they go away to a deserted place. It seems that Jesus wants to give them, the apostles, a chance to relive together their experiences. Remember that they had been sent out in pairs. But Jesus is like a rock star to the crowds. They figure out where he is going and arrive there by foot before he and his apostles. When he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. The reference to sheep without a shepherd is used many times in Hebrew scriptures. It aligns with our first reading from the prophet Jeremiah that speaks about the shepherds who lead the people astray. These shepherds were the kings of Israel who had fallen into religious worship of idols and false gods. In our first reading, the prophet speaks for God who says, "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock from all the lands to which I've driven them and bring them back to their meadow." God will raise up a righteous son of David who will lead the people wisely to the truth. We know that that son is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This shepherd will draw together all nations into one flock. In our second reading, St. Paul addresses a major division within that flock, the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles. This recalls that in the temple in Jerusalem, there was a physical wall that separated the temple from the court of the Gentiles. In Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have become near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, he who made both one and broke down the dividing wall of enmity through his flesh. He came and preached peace to you who were far off, the Gentiles, and peace to those who are near, the Jews. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And it is through the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ that we have unity in the one spirit to the Father. As you may know, Catholics have been meeting this week in Indianapolis to celebrate the 10th National Eucharistic Congress. Now, this is part of the National Eucharistic Revival that actually continues for another year that we've undertaken in the United States. At the opening Mass on Wednesday, Cardinal Christophe Pierre, the Papal Nuncio to the United States, addressed the assembly. The following is taken from that address. What is Eucharistic revival? We know that such revival must extend beyond devotional practices. When we are truly revived by the Eucharist, then our encounter with Christ's real presence in the sacrament opens us to an encounter with him in the rest of our life. This means seeing him everywhere we go. It means meeting him in the interactions we have with others. Not only is he present in our family, friends, and communities, it is also present in our encounters with people from whom we would otherwise consider ourselves divided. This might include people from a different economic class or race, people who challenge our way of thinking, and people whose perspective is informed by experiences that differ greatly from our own. When we encounter such people, Christ is present to be a bridge. Christ, the firstborn of all creation, wants to be a bridge between people who are members of the same human family, people who are children of the same Father in heaven, and whose destiny is to be united in love within the same eternal household. If we are experiencing true Eucharistic revival, then one of the signs will be a greater movement on our part to build bridges of unity. And so to believe in the real presence of Christ is not only to say, in these forms of bread and wine are his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Of course, that's true. Not only that, but he is present to people who struggle to connect with him because of wounds, fear, and sin. We need to be there with him accompanying such people and helping them to experience the real presence of Christ's love. This then is what it means to live a truly Eucharistic life. The adoration spills over into our daily life, our life of relating to others, our way of seeing others. When we are transformed by the Eucharist, we do not remain the same as we were. When we do receive Christ, not just outwardly and partially, but inwardly and fully, then we begin to see differently. We see with the eyes of Christ. We see reality with his eyes. As Cardinal Pierre points out, a significant aspect of the Eucharist is that it is a sacrament of unity. The Catechism states, "This sacrament is called Holy Communion because by this sacrament we unite ourselves to Christ, who makes us sharers in his body and blood to form a single body." Communion and community are words we use to show how people work together. The Catechism emphasizes our unity is not based on our work, but on the work that Jesus has already done to bring us together. He accomplished that work through his life, death, and resurrection. He gave us the sacraments to develop the connection between us and the work he does on earth through our own work. He showed us that in love, what unites us is much greater than anything that divides us. There isn't an order to the sacraments that follows the natural order. The sacraments of initiation are baptism, confirmation, and Holy Communion. This morning, we're privileged to be witnesses to the baptism of Amari. And we also see at this Mass where the candidates and catechumens will be called forth as they look forward to complete these sacraments of initiation. Penance and the anointing of the sick are sacraments of healing. Matrimony and holy orders are sacraments of service to the community. In this organic whole, the Eucharist occupies a unique place as the sacrament of sacraments. All the other sacraments are ordered to it to their end. When Jesus was born, the people of Israel were expecting a Messiah that would eliminate Roman oppression and restore the kingdom of David. Well, that vision was flawed because, as human beings, we are all flawed. They were expecting a new king or emperor, and we know that no person is going to create a permanent unity. That permanent unity can only be created by God. As he showed through his life, Jesus was a different kind of shepherd. Through the church he founded with St. Peter as its head, it provides the means to live with him in the kingdom of heaven. As our creator, he knew our unity could only be guaranteed through the sacraments he gave us to grow together in him. Holy Communion is the ultimate sacrament of our unity and our salvation.